Good evening, everyone. It is 9 p.m. Eastern. It is February 27th, 2018. And this is a welcome committee call. Jim?
Glad to have, I hope there are some new members here tonight. And if you do call in, you're going to be live, and you have to hit star 6 to mute yourself out. If you want to talk, hit star 6 again. We're here to try to assemble the troops to bring back constitutional law to we the people. And hopefully the executive branch of the government, President Trump, William Sessions, are hard at work doing the same thing.
I see Robin is with us again tonight. Glad to see you. I don't see Margie yet.
She's always got a lot of good things to say.
Oh, yeah.
Robin, what state are you in?
South Carolina.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to listen to Alex Jones today to hear any, you know, new news. Yesterday they were being denied street live streaming on YouTube, and I understand that's still going on today. Hopefully.
Here's Margie.
Hey, hello everybody. How you doing?
Good evening, Margie. How are you?
Oh, fine. Fine, Jim and Robert.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Jim, let me give you a latest update on the InfoWars stuff.
Go for it.
Okay, this morning we heard that Corsi, he's the one that's been doing the live QAnon analysis shows on YouTube. We heard that he was shut down on YouTube. About an hour or two ago, I was surfing around on YouTube while he was on live, and they weren't doing QAnon analysis, but they were talking about YouTube shutting down and Twitter and all this and that. He got a strike against him. InfoWars got another strike against them. That's two for InfoWars, three, and you're out. Okay, and what he was talking, he said, what I'm going to do, he says, I'm not going to talk anymore here. I'm going to try to notify the White House. And he says, here's the thing. If the Democrats totally take over the media, okay, Trump is not going to have a chance because they'll be controlling all the propaganda. So he says, I'm going to notify the White House and see what Trump does. So I'll tell you what, it could get very interesting. And Trump, QAnon put out a post here two or three days ago that we're going into phase two, and the war is going to be against mainstream media. And it seems like the spiritual mission, everything falls together all at the right time. And like I said, it could get interesting if Trump could go after CNN, YouTube, and Facebook, and all these liberal controllers all at the same time. And all this week, I look for some big exposure, okay? And I think before the end of this week, there's going to be some big, major exposures and some happenings. It is all coming to a head. That is like the Parkland deal. That blew up in their face. Everything they do right now, they are desperate. It's like fighting. It's just like running into a injured animal. I've shot elk, antelope, and all this and that, and you track the blood, you track them down. And sometimes you got a problem because they are wounded, they are cornered, And you got to watch out. But this is a condition that deep state is in right now. They are wounded animals. They are desperate, and they have pulled out all the stops. They're doing everything they can to control the media. They want Trump out. But like I say, it could get very, very interesting in the next few days.
That information is almost raising the hairs on the back of my neck. Not quite.
Well, it's getting interesting, Jim. It's getting interesting.
Well, the Illuminati, they already own, they're behind Facebook and Google and what's the other one?
Twitter.
Facebook. YouTube. Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Yes, all of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll confess right now, I've always avoided Google all my life. And Facebook, early on, I would access that site to look up an old friend, up to the point that they wanted to know who you were before you could look at your old friend's biography, and I quit looking at Facebook. So actually this week, though I have nothing to do with Facebook, got a notice on my cell phone from Facebook saying I had violated one of their codes. And I just deleted it, you know. So go on, because you can't, you know. One, I don't like FDR now that I know who he was. But the one thing he said that is absolutely true is the only thing to fear is fear itself. If you actually fear something is going to come true or going to happen, you just might create the event, you know. So try not to be afraid no matter what happens. So
that's right.
Always look to the future that you want to have.
Well, it's all in the mind. You can take a normal individual, healthy as a horse, and you get six people to say, boy, you sure look bad. You sure look bad. Well, you're feeling good, rolling on, and they keep working on it. Next thing you know, he's sicker than a dog.
Yeah.
It's all metal. And when you say you fear, you've got to learn to deal with fear. And just like in the military, you go through certain drills and learn self-discipline. And when the shit hits the fan, you're not dealing with fear. You're dealing with you turn into a machine. All your training comes into play. But that was a good statement by FDR. If you the only thing to fear is fear itself, and that was exactly right.
Right.
Don't be overcome by the unknown. So you got to believe in God, you know, from experience of life. Let's older people that have tried to do the right thing, you know, you do find out over the course of life. I've had experiences, you know, with other people that look pretty bad, nasty people, and reacted to it a certain way and didn't think it was going to be good. And a couple of years later, I realized my reaction and what I did actually, you know, led to better things through that nasty event, that I actually grew out of that and got rewarded for it for some unknown reason. And, you know, so stay tuned in this bigger event right here. So.
Well, while I'm thinking about it, Ollie, you're here. California Fred has some information that you might be interested in.
Okay, fire.
Ollie, have you ever heard of BitShoot, BitShoot?
I've heard of it. That's about, beyond that, I don't know what it is. I've heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
It is a place that you could upload video and download and play. If we lose YouTube, it might be a place you can use as a backup for the NLA website.
Oh, okay. Here's what I got in mind. Everybody, everybody's thinking live, okay? I can download videos from YouTube. I can shoot videos live with my setup. And I don't need YouTube. I run directly up on my website. They're under my control. Okay. One way you can go live to your website, or wait a minute. One way you go live to your website, you do this. You live stream to YouTube, and you make it private where nobody can see it except you. You turn around, and then you embed that live video into your website, okay? And that's just a trick that very few people know about. But
what? And then if they type that address, it will shoot through YouTube and into your website.
Yeah, so you know how to embed a YouTube video into a website. You right-click on the bottom, and you get the embed code. And then in your HTML in your website, you plug that in, and that plays that video off of YouTube on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm saying.
You can live anybody. Like if I had somebody in New Mexico, well, like you could live stream up to YouTube with your cell phone to my Patriot Standing channel on YouTube. I could make it private and put it on my website for everybody to watch. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the question. I understand now.
There's some tricks to doing all this. I have Googled till I'm blue in the face trying to figure out how to live stream to websites. There are two or three servers. One of them's Linode for $5 a month. You can live stream there, you can split it up and go to YouTube, Facebook, and a whole bunch of sites. The same thing, Google's got a server. They get expensive. But here's the thing. Like I say, I have searched till I'm blue in the face trying to figure out the code to stream directly to my website. And the reason it's hard to do is because you take websites like Ustream, they charge $50 a month. They'll do it for you, but they're expensive. 10 years ago, they were almost nothing. But this is a big business, big bucks. And when people are making these big bucks, the code is secret. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I could figure out that code, like with WebRTC or something, to upstream live stream to my website, we'd have it made, and YouTube would be out of business. But they don't want that, so it's a big secret, it's top secret how to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the whole internet should be basically free, non-profit, under the First Amendment, freedom of speech. It's our airwaves.
Right. Wasn't it free when the government, was it 50s or 60s when they had it? Wasn't it free to them to get on there to use
it? You got it. Just the equipment, AM, FM frequencies, and I'm not an expert on radio frequencies at all, so I can't comment further than that. But yeah, it was all free, including television. It was free over the air, and the advertisers, the soap companies, the TV dinner companies were real big back then, and they paid for, all the entertainment that we watched on TV. So, and actually it was HBO was the first to get to pay for that channel, and then cable came, and et cetera, so.
Sure.
Well, Texas Keith, are you a new member, or have you been with the NLA for a while?
Hey, that's Peter. Is that you, Peter, from New Mexico?
Texas, not New Mexico.
No, this is... Am I in yet?
Can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
Who Who is this?
Yes.
Say your name and state. First name and state.
Keith in Texas.
Are you a new member? I'm Jim. Glad to have you. If we can hear you.
He muted himself. Okay, you're open now. You can talk, Keith.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
No, I appreciate all the knowledge I've got from y'all's website. I mean, I had to battle the courts in Pecos County. I had 4 trespass charges on my own property, so that's how I got to start learning from y'all, and fortunately I beat them in 25 days, so now I'm trying to figure out how to do a civil suit against them. And I'm not sure what this call is about. I mean, I'm sorry. I've listened to some of your programs, but I can't remember what tonight's call is about.
Well, this call is what we call the Welcome Committee, and it's for new members to learn about our website, what we're doing, and get questions answered, and help familiarize you with our website and everything we're doing.
Yeah.
You were charged with trespass on your own property?
Yeah, I went through a divorce, and I didn't know that there's 100 IRS letters that were accumulated over like a 6 or 7 year period. My wife didn't show me not one of them. So basically kicked me out of the house, fired from my job of 18 and a half years as insurance salesman. I'm making about $120,000 a year about a week later. And needless to say, about 2 years later, I got divorced and she got the house, but I'm trying to get out of my name. I'm trying to do everything I can to get out of my name, but you know, you can't do it with it being a lien on the house. So now I'm learning all the things to get the lien off the house, and it's, you know, an interesting process, but you wouldn't believe what that town did to me. I mean, the last arrest, there was 8 cops around me.
Well,
I mean,
from our own experiences, we would believe what you. Go ahead and tell us what happened if you want, so.
Well, basically, in a 13-day period, they're using Stingray, and I kept trying to go over there to get my vehicle because one of my pickups was, like, a dead battery. You know, it was a 2010 pickup, has like 95,000 miles on it, but it has dead battery. When it's cold out, it's just hard to boost. So she was out of town, so I was charging up for like 5 or 6 hours on this jump box, and it didn't work. But bottom line, the whole thing is, so they were using Stingray. They never caught me on the property, not one of the 4 times. Never once caught me on the property. But
you're traveling with your cell phone with a SIM card? Yeah.
Yeah,
and so they can track you.
Yeah, and she's so connected to the county judge. Her personal secretary is her best friend, is married to the county judge.
This is your ex-wife.
It's what?
Go ahead. Who's connected to the county judge?
My ex is the director of nurses at a small hospital in Fort Stockton. Fort Stockton is like free in tax base. It's a big county in West Texas, but it's south of Midland.
I've been through Fort Stockton in my younger days. I liked it out there.
Oh, I love it too. I love that part of the country, but whenever you're public enemy number one, and it's not a good place. I mean, she's connected to the sheriff.
It's getting over in the area of Big Bend where we lost our Supreme Court justice. Anton Scalia.
I know. That was crazy. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you need to talk to John Durash.
You know, I've actually called in his program, and I've been listening to all his Thursday night calls, and I actually emailed him the other day, and, you know, sort
That's
of...
That's Captain John.
Yeah, Captain
Thursday
John.
Thursday
night
is Captain John.
Night.
He's talking about Monday night. Important leaders.
No, and I've called John, and I've actually, the good thing is I've got so much, actually did a court of record on my pretrial hearing, which I didn't get usually at a pretrial hearing, at least the DA gives you options to get rid of the 4, or the trespass charges he's charging you with. He didn't even do that. He went straight to the judge. He didn't even give me the option to even do that because I filed papers that morning. And he didn't look at them, supposedly, but the judge was reading them up there while I was waiting. I was like number probably
12. This is in a state court, state district court, or
county
court?
Yeah, county court.
Right.
But
well,
I'm telling you wouldn't believe how much they wanted me to I mean, they were wanting my tail. It was funny.
Oh, yeah. You know, if your ex-wife is connected with people in government and she's friendly with them, you know, if she's got those kind of connections, they'll sick people right on you and arrest you. We've all experienced that. That's the problem. That's really what NLA is all about, is the courts are unconstitutional. Their lawless violence is the word as they go about business.
That's pretty quick.
And, you know, you should call Monday night. It's 9 to midnight.
Yes. No. I've called several times, and, you know, my whole thing is now I need to do the civil because this is going to be fun. It's really going to be fun on that part.
Certainly if the IRS is involved, there's a lot of good information on that show about the actual authority of the IRS powers over you.
I was listening to a program, and I'm not sure, it wasn't with NLA, but it was another guy, something about if it's over 100,000, it's on the Texas Republic, the Republic of Texas. I don't know if you ever heard of those guys. Anyway, I've got some connections in that, but there was one guy called in. He had over $100,000 worth of, I'm not sure what it was, but supposedly there's a statute if it's over 100,000, it's like $1 million fine involved in, like, or using color law against you and those type of things. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that.
Well, when you say statute, you know, that's probably unconstitutional on its face.
Yeah, there's a statute that they can fine whoever's doing color of law against you up to $1 million. It can fine whoever's doing this to you.
Oh, I see. So it's a statute in favor of the injured party.
It helped me.
All right. Well, USC 42, federal statutes, USC 18, 241, and 242, those are to protect our rights, but they're very hard to actually get enforcement in the court systems because of the...
And I was also reading on y'all's website, they're talking about the Denver 8 or the Colorado 8, how they got in trouble for using, you know, quoting the UCC codes. And he said something, I'm not sure what it was, but it was posted like 21 days ago or 24 days ago on y'all's site in L.A., but he said it's best if you don't use those because they're copyrighted. So I was listening to another program. They said it's best if you use your Texas statutes. I don't know if y'all have ever looked at using just New York on y'all's SAFE Act. Are y'all using the UCC or y'all using, like, New York statutes on that thing?
Well, all I can say is that is first of all, you know, I can only give limited amounts of information just from my own experience and research. And but UCC, that's all commercial code, which basically, you know, there's authorization in the Constitution for the government, but they've gone far beyond that into corporate fraud. And I was going to bring up, you know, I recommend don't using it. You won't get anywhere with it. It's just a waste of time. You want to open a court of record and use constitutional law on every level and put it all in writing. And that information is on the NLA website under grand jury dockets. Have you seen that site?
Yes, I've been looking at that as well. I was reading some other guys that are also doing some things like this, but they were...
It took me about 5 months of hard study over a five-month period to where that information started to make sense to me, and I've heard John Durash say that too, that if you're halfway smart, it's going to take that long. You can't do it in one night.
Yes, no. I've got time. Now, the other
on commercial code, let me say this. Margie mentioned Peter in New Mexico, Margie, and I contacted him yesterday. He's a tremendous man. He's a lot like me. He's a property owner going back in his family for almost 100 years, lives up in Taos, and he sent me a tremendous bit of information about New Hampshire. It's got a legislative bill. It's probably not going to get passed, but it is to... dethrone the right to travel by private travel where they're throwing everybody in jail and fining people under the commercial, which is UCC,
yes.
all that corporate stuff,
yes.
which is all
mm-hmm.
fraud. They're doing
yes.
it because they own the jails, got the police, all that. But New Hampshire is actually attempting to create a driver's license where you are a private person. When you get pulled over by a cop, you
and
just
you
join
right.
that.
And
it's... the most interesting, telling information, you know, that's what I went through in here in New Mexico and ran into what T's describing down in Texas, that they just don't listen to you and they arrest you and stuff. Lawless violence is the word. Is the reason they're doing it, they're making a lot of money, and it's in the paperwork in New Hampshire that if they go through with that and the 80-85% of people that travel privately, not for commercial profit, on the highways and byways, that will cost the state of New Hampshire $250 million.
And it should. They shouldn't be making money off of that.
Well, so we're all in a trap where you know, if you were to yank that money, you know, in any given state, it's going to cause devastating damage, you know, which...
That's good. The government needs to be... smaller size anyway.
Well, it does, and I agree with that. And I want to get back to, you know, gasoline taxes pays to for the upkeep on the highways and byways, all the road systems, and that's as far as we need government to get involved in that, you know.
There's only 19 things supposed to be doing anyway.
We don't need to. I just went past the Mexico Department of Transportation crew on a two-lane highway here today. And there's half a dozen guys just leaning on their, you know, equipment, you know. And,
let's make sure that we get people in here that want to speak.
Yes.
I see that Denise is here now, and I know that she was getting cut off on last night's call, so I'm kind of interested to hear what she might have to say.
Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes,
okay, I wasn't sure if I had to do pound six. Okay. So just to update you, I'm hopefully going to be working with John on finalizing the Tree of Liberty survey, but nothing has been, you know, agreed upon. If we go forward with it as a group, I would love to. And here's the parts that I feel that could use some help. I'm writing the survey questions now, and the goal of the survey questions is to educate candidates running for office, and that would be sheriffs, judges, and state and federal legislators. So my hope is that I can get some people to really hone the questions that we have, to submit maybe some other questions, which there's always 5 multiple choice, only 1 is wrong, the other 4 are right. And from there, you know, we can work on getting the survey completed. I have some outline drafts for the pledge. And then once we get that done, you know, we can hopefully realize some income. And what's in it for me is to get the survey in the scope of the NLA, because I feel like that would be a great way to also impress upon candidates. Learning the Constitution is very important, because most of them have not read it in decades, or if they've ever read it. So that's important. But then additionally, it would bring income to myself and to NLA. What I need help with is this, is Secretary of State offices have candidate filings opening up the first week of March and ending, I think, on March 15th is the date. So if I could get some help from different states on March 15th, people committing to getting the list of candidates, and I just need their names, party affiliation, phone number, email. That's it. And then if I can get some help gathering up the names, because there'll be over 1,000 names, but I'm hoping... To me, a very successful survey would be 500 candidates taking advantage.
And I've volunteered to get that information from my state to Denise.
I, I've got another man on here that would like to speak with you also, Denise.
Okay.
Ollie, you here?
Hi, Ollie.
Hi, I'm in Colorado.
Okay.
Anyway, you were talking about fighting a school board or something like that out in Vegas.
Okay, so the school board is a different topic. But yes, I had I'm getting feedback on my phone, sorry. Our school board is trying to adopt a gender dysphoria bathroom, transgender bathrooms, and they're violating the constitutional rights of the kids. So my question was, I'm not sure if they take an oath to uphold our constitutional rights, but what I do know is this, is that the Department of Education for each state does take an oath, and they have all adopted the Pearson Media books, and Pearson Media is a Gates Foundation company, and as you know, Gates is a pretty evil guy. He's trying to subject all of our children to nefarious and poisonous vaccines to give them parentally consented, uninformed chemical lobotomies, but all the textbooks are Islam-based, so it pushes Islam ideology as a positive when obviously it's a negative, but that it's in direct violation of Trump's May ruling from the SCOTUS saying that we will only teach that Islam is a violent state and that, you know, and ways to mitigate Islam. I can't remember the exact words of SCOTUS, but anyway, it's anti-Islam. So all the books and everything are for Islam, and they all knew this, but then they started the school year anyway with all these books. Almost all the schools have them. It's Pearson Media. If it's a Pearson Media book, it's Islam.
Okay. How many school districts do you have in Clark County?
Well, we have one Clark County School District board.
Okay.
So we're a massive county. It's 2,600 square miles, and we only have one school board.
Okay. I didn't know if Paul Rump or any of these other towns were in Clark County, if they had different school boards or not.
Yeah, because I live kind of near Pahrump. I'm on the border between Pahrump and Las Vegas. I'm in the rural.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Pahrump is in Nye County.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I remember now. I was out there once. But during I think it was the first trial out there. But anyway, I was going to make a few suggestions. I would form a committee. Okay, I would get parents in the school district that's against this, and I would have them start making out affidavits. Okay, now. Do you know Michelle Fiore?
Yes.
Okay, I would get with her. Do you know the Sheltons? I cannot think of her name. I stayed with them for a week when I was out in Vegas. Tony Shelton, I got his card, but I can't think of her name. She was an assemblywoman there, very good friends with Michelle Fiore. Contact them. They would be able to help you. They'd be very good contacts. And they're conservatives.
Well,
okay.
That's
where you
that's
create
great.
A committee of safety, an issue that's in the people's minds, and activate a committee of safety around that. So.
And something you should know, Denise, is that Ollie is putting together the National Liberty Alliance news station, and we could use reporters from every county.
From
and
the sound
maybe,
of Denise, you would make a great reporter. I was thinking about 3 minutes ago, Robert.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I could try to squeeze in.
Well,
the Leslie
you know,
Stahl of NLA.
What you're doing is would be great news for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd love to. Now, when I form a committee, and you talk about doing committee of safety, and I have signed up on the website to do one, so I'll do it around this subject. And I've already got Nevada Family Coalition involved with it, and they're very active on the subject. So, you know, that's a positive. But the committee of safety, what are some of the activities of a committee of safety? Because
Committee of Safety is like a shadow government. They're there. You know, it's the people in the county involved in. They have the power to watch over what their elected officials are doing, and force them to change what they're doing. You know, bring them back on track to where they should be, and they have different means of you know, they can inform them. You know, what you're doing is wrong, and this is what you should be doing. And if you don't, we're going to make sure you don't hold your office very long. You know, you have the power to take that office away from them, either through voting them out the next time around or a recall petition. And if you've got the committee of safety set up to where you're involving most of the people in the county, you're sure to win your recall petitions. So it gives you the power to correct everything that's wrong in your county.
I love it. Keep talking. So on the recall petition... Go ahead.
A lot of people are interested in their school children, you know, so that's probably one of the biggest groups you'll ever find to work
okay,
with.
Okay, can I continue on, please?
Go ahead, Ollie.
Okay. What I was saying is this. The local governments, the feds and everybody else, they prey on single individuals, okay? What I'm saying is this. You get a support group going. You get contacts like Michelle Fiore and Mrs. Shelton. I can't think of her name. You start talking to parents in that school district, okay? You can call it a committee of safety. You can call it in anything you want. But you form a committee. You get, when I say committee, you can have a formal committee. You can just have a bunch of people in a coffee shop talking. You get a bunch of people together, they've all got something. They've all had something that happened to them from the school board with their kids, or they wouldn't be there. You start getting affidavits from them. Okay, you build up a case. You build up a case, and I don't know how much it would cost to file out there, but when you get this group committee, call it whatever you want. When you get this formed, that then you go file. You go file in the federal district court. They're on that court we hung out in front of for a week. But anyway, you file a case, and if you got a support group like Michelle Fiore, she's familiar with the politics in that county, and so is Mrs. Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, Get a support group together, or you got some political pull. You know, we've been fighting Sharia law, Roman law, city law for centuries, and right now we're fighting both of them. We're fighting both of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I will proceed on that, and then I'll report back next week on what I got going.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate that, and yeah, there's lots that we can do to give the people the power to correct everything.
Okay.
A man named Ron in Little Rock, Arkansas. I forget his county. It's Southern Little Rock. He's taken everybody in that county as having their homes robbed right now. And he's taking that issue and forming a meeting And it's the same thing. Find out what in the community people are upset about and, you know, build on that, like what's happening
yes.
out there.
That's a good idea.
And otherwise, they just go to sleep on you.
And then get affidavits, right? Is that what you're saying?
I would like to say something. Tonight is the welcome meeting. You need to call back on the Committee of Safety Night meeting. There you will find contacts that you can coordinate with. I yield.
Okay. Thank you.
She is a new member, though, so we're still welcoming Denise. So, and we wish everybody
right.
was as sharp as Denise appears to be. So.
Yeah,
but I think you need to learn the paperwork too, Denise. So you go to the grand jury tab, and on the grand jury tab, you go to the docket, and then under the docket, you scroll way down, and I'm going to reread the Bundy case again. That's Bundy affidavit. He's got 6 pages there, but an affidavit should be 2 to 3 pages. What Ollie was saying is to, you know, write it, or everybody was saying, write an affidavit, you know, get people to write affidavits. Affidavits are just the facts, of the case. They're not, you know, no one's emotions. But to learn how to do that, there's an example there on the, under the grand jury tab, under docket, and then scroll way down, and you'll see the affidavit tab, and you can learn, and then from affidavit, you can learn affidavits in there. You know, read them, how to form them, how to write them yourself, and to show other people how to write them.
Sounds really good.
Have you looked in there, Denise? Or I mean, I know there's a lot on the website, but
I have looked around on the website. I saw some of the videos. I'm on a couple of big projects right now, but I do want to get into it, you know, further.
Okay,
that'll tell you
how
to write affidavits.
I've got one website where you can download the affidavit form, and it tells you how to fill it out. I've got another website that I've got it written, and it's working. I need to tweak it out a little bit. But that website, you put in your name, number, and all the vital information. You fill out the facts, and you hit...
That's just a template, though, right?
Yeah, it's a template. You hit submit. It prints out the affidavit the way it's going to look, and if it's all accurate and all this, you hit form PDF. It forms a PDF on there where you can download it and into the PDF file and take it down and have it printed out and take it down to the notary and get it signed. Affidavits are fairly simple, but you've got to, there are certain hints, like when you fill out your name, you got to fill out your name exactly as it is on your driver's license or an ID. The facts, you've got to, you cannot have any false, you cannot have any lies in there. You just the bare facts. None of your opinions. You're not fighting your case in that affidavit. You just fill out that affidavit with the bare facts. The facts that is needed. If you don't know an exact date, it's on or about. But you tell your story on what happened. Just like those people out there, my child came home crying because she was told to do this and that, and just the bare facts. And an affidavit, unless contested, is evidence in court. It is a sworn affidavit. Without the witness there, it is a sworn. It is the same as having a witness there.
All right. So if I file in federal district court, am I just filing the affidavits or am I opening a case or how does that work? Or do you want to talk about that right now?
Well, I am not a legal beagle. I'm an electronic engineer.
You pick up that information on the Monday night call.
Yeah.
It comes
okay.
through loud and clear. It takes over about 3 or 4 weeks and there'll be information that repeats on that about how to file a case.
I'm going to go look up the old one.
Yes, go look up. Go look up the affidavits. That's how you learn how to do it. You read them. You know, that's how I learn. You know, it's all easy, but you read them. Read how someone else formed it. You know, he's just telling you about the template, Ollie, which is good. But like the Bundy affidavit, and then you can go under what are those things called? The foreclosures. You know, read their. The show causes too. All the papers are so powerful. But read they have an affidavit on there.
I'm trying to figure out in the school system what you would put in an affidavit. Would you be saying that Bill Gates is nefariously involved in this because he did so and so funded that, or you know how you'd put that together? I'm already wondering what that would amount to. So.
Okay, the fact it has to be firsthand information. It can't be hearsay. It's got to be directly from a witness that was there. It's got to be firsthand, first-person information.
Oh. Very good.
Okay.
So I hope, I just trying to tell you how to get started and you know, get something organized.
You can call me again, Denise, when you get time, and we can work on that. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, Denise, this is Robin in South Carolina. How are you?
Doing good.
Can you be reached? You initially asked for help from each state, so where can you be reached?
So my phone number is 702-722-8489.
Okay.
And I know Presley Stutz. He's the head of your tea party there in South Carolina.
Oh, really? Okay. I am, you know, still really new and trying to get in contact with people.
Hook up with Presley. He's got some good conservative candidates there.
Okay, awesome. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Next.
Hello. There is a free court access course on the site, too.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go
on the
education tab down to judicial.
Uh-huh.
That'll give you a guide. I think you probably get more out of just reading the case in New York, some of that paperwork. But it's got all the law dictionaries and Bouvier's and all that type of thing on there also. So it's a good access for information and cases.
Yeah, I like that, court cases. Yeah, education, then drop-down menu, judicial, and then come over, you can go and then hit court cases, examples there. I'm looking at it now. But the affidavits are good to look at.
Yes, Paul.
Is that Crystal's voice?
Yes, how you doing?
Hey there, Crystal.
How's everybody? I went to court today as a court observer for another person. And they were really shocked to see me in the federal court. And what John had mentioned last week, which it was very powerful, do no harm. So last night at our board meeting, I went over the whole thing, do no harm. If children are going to school with rat infested or contamination and the board votes on it, do no harm. I used that on every illustration, and two of them were attorneys, and they all looked at each other, you know, because they're making decisions on people's lives and children and whatever, and it's illegal, it's toxic, it's deadly, and they are making the choices to do no harm. So six people came up to me and said, what did you mean by that? Do no harm. I said, because they are the ones who are in charge. They sit on the board. they make decisions for people's lives, our children's lives, the staff's lives. Are they doing harm to people knowingly and willingly? I said, that's fraudulence, and that's a crime. So I told them all to sign up. I said, check out the National Liberty Alliance. And they said, you know, we have the jury. We can go to the courts and start learning, because you see how some cases are tried. And as a matter of fact, any case over $20, you can have a jury. I said, when you go to these courts here, the judge, it's just all between the judge and the attorneys. And you have no say-so. Even when you bring in proof, you know, show me proof of claim. They had an article in 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago in the paper. And they said, because that MERS, and I said, well, who signed my name? And on the MERS scan, when they change your name, this is what you look for. Go get a copy of your deed record, all right? When they scan your name, there is never a date behind there, because there is no contract. That's one of the key things you start looking for. I know this. I used to do this kind of work. What else is there? Your warranty deed. I have my warranty deed. We all have our warranty deeds. They're still taking our property. And so, you know, mine they want to take in May 26th. Hopefully all this stuff will be resolved. We're filing different claims in the federal court, and plus I have a case going on right now with the federal court. The judge said, I see that you have me in federal court. Who's your attorney? I said, me. He said, I said, who's your attorney? I said, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, for myself. And so the attorney, she goes, well, Your Honor, I found out, I called the clerk's office in Albany, and he said the case was kicked out. He goes, how do you know? And he goes, who did this handwriting on me? She goes, well, that's my notes, which I guess we found out it wasn't, because I never got no discharge or nothing like that. So this is how sloppy these attorneys and incompetent that they are. Another thing, they never even went back to check the records on my title. So as I said, and I just got a letter tonight, because they want to be paid in advance before the foreclosure. So he awarded them almost like, I don't know, close to $2,000 or $3,000, you know, against me. So I said, okay, I'm just going to amend that. For what, I don't know. And I'm going to put a motion and appeal against that. But make sure everybody responds whenever you get any kind of mail, or whatever the case is. Do not accept, you know, file a motion, what have you. But these are the things we got to look out for. And, you know, the young lady who I've been training, when she went in there today, I said, well, you didn't do that. I said, you got to see. I said, you represented yourself. You just said all the points. I said, I'm going to do your affidavits because I was your witness. And she goes, you know, I felt comfortable. I said, well, you know what? You got to get familiar with the words, get on the line, National Liberty Alliance. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you shook me by the hand. We got to take each other by the hand and help each other. Okay? But it's starting to work. It really is, you know. And people are getting so frustrated. Another dear friend of ours who is a part of NLA, they're trying to put her out of her home tomorrow. And we did all her paperwork. So I don't know if I can get up there, but I told her to fax that paperwork down to me immediately. If we got to blow it out in the media, this is what we're going to have to do. Okay, so, but I've been ripping and running all day long. Another thing I heard today, and I don't know how true this is. Is anybody aware that they changed the law? Because anything we get with these attorneys' names or whatever, we've been writing grievances and appealing it. They said that we cannot. Congress just passed the law. If anybody's doing anything to us, that we cannot mention their names. Is anybody familiar with that?
No.
I said
I didn't hear, but somebody had mentioned it to me, and I said, I have no idea, you know. But
have to look into it. investigate it.
I'm sorry.
Have to investigate it, look into it. I don't know.
No, I was just wondering if anybody else on, you know, because I said it was just both, and I said, well, I never heard of it, so.
But that's what's basically been going on here. And
Crystal, you're an example of for new members with their problem, just never give up. They're stealing our resources, and don't let them do it. You know, if it looks like you're losing, just never give up like Crystal does.
Oh, believe you me. Believe you me. Psalm 55:22. I place all my burdens in Jehovah God's hands when I leave it, you know. Fear no man. You know, we see how evil and wicked. It's terrible. It is so terrible. As a matter of fact, tonight they were supposed to have a big meeting because all the people were screaming about this WPCA and the attorneys and the judges with the illegal foreclosures and all that at City Hall. And I guess the last minute, they canceled it. See, and they know that I go to my meeting on Tuesday night, so they definitely didn't want me there, you know. But I was going to go there to sign up, you know, and just speak to some people. But they subpoenaed all the attorneys 1, 2, 3 weeks ago, and they were nervous. It was terrible. I mean, they were very nervous because there must have been about, I guess, 500 to 800 people there. So.
Sounds like they're trying to find somebody to put the blame on but themselves.
Well.
Pass the buck.
Yeah, but as I said, I love that one, do no harm. And that's what we're working. You know, if we teach people a few words every week, building up our vocabulary, and like, I was so glad when they kept on saying, we understood what you were saying. What do you mean by do no harm?
It's a great slogan. It's a great slogan. Right after that should be notice a liability if they fail to abide
right.
by do no harm.
I couldn't believe how many people, the parents, students, the college students, they pick, they go, what did you mean? I said, well, if somebody sits there and makes a decision and are doing something illegal to you, are they going to be doing it in your behalf, or are they doing it maliciously? You know, because they're swearing under oath to do no harm. So I understood
John Duresh to say with the smart meters, he was working on a plan for that. I'm living around smart meters, you know. I hope they're not killing me.
Right.
I wanted to say to all the new members before we close, NLA would love to have at least a $5 donation from you every month. It's not required, but every little bit helps. And we spend $5 all the time and, you know, go on to the next $5, so it's forgotten about. But please donate if you can.
Well, and I also, you know what, for the ones, and believe you me, because I whatever I can give, I try to give as much as I can when I get paid once a month. And what I had mentioned to the people here, and I said, look, I said, these attorneys want $3,000 to $5,000. I said, even if you could come up with $75 for that month, getting paperwork and stuff like that, you know. I said, some months I don't have it, but they're only asking for $60. But you know what? If we can do maybe $75 every 2 months or every 3 months, you know, everything, it would help. It would help, you know. I mean,
I'm planning on making a small, just one-time donation here in the next month or two as spring comes and more money comes in.
Right. And same here. I didn't give nothing last month, but I gave, you know, because I try to cover for other people because some people may not have it. Sometimes I don't have it, you know. But as I said, this is very important. And
the car cannot run without gasoline. It's as simple as that, so.
Exactly.
It's sure good to hear Ollie's voice. It was good to hear Gary there for a little bit. He'll be on his Tri-State call, and I've never listened to Gary before. He has a tremendous dissertation about the preamble of the Constitution and how it's been abused and misused, and the five articles in the Constitution are basically being ignored, what the authorization of government is. And it's a great little speech he made last week. You can find that February 21st, Tri-State Committees of Safety, on the site, the NLA site.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Can I ask one question before we go? This is Robin in South Carolina.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Marty, how are you tonight?
Doing fine.
Good. How does one handle a summons for jury duty? What's the recommended procedure for that?
Well, you have to just go by what the letter says, basically. I've had it happen to me. You can't ignore it. You know,
right.
Have you gotten one of those?
I did.
Did you open it up?
Last Wednesday. I did Wednesday.
Open it? Yeah.
No, I haven't. I'm looking at it right now. And the thing, you know, it has like disqualifications. And I'm brand new. I'm just learning all this stuff. And, you know, one of the disqualifications is I am not a U.S. citizen, and I'm like, well, do I check that? Well, that doesn't make sense because I still have a voter registration, so, you know.
Just don't lie. Whatever you check and send in, make sure it's the truth. So
right.
you don't want to get caught committing fraud yourself. So Captain John on his Thursday night show, I recall, sometime over the last 3 or 4 months, he's talked about summons and jury duty and qualifications and whether you qualify or not, and how if you say certain things, if you go and appear to be on a jury, they ask you a series of questions, and if you don't fit the jury tampering schedule of the prosecutor, the DA, they'll disqualify you on the spot. And
okay.
But you just have to basically go by what the letter tells you to do.
Well, I've gotten one of those, and when I told her, I've gotten about four of them. But it just says, you know, you call the day before, well, in North Carolina, you call the day before and see if they're going to use you. But I never went down there, and they, you know, I never went down there to have them ask me a lot of questions and all that. I mean, I wouldn't do that anyway, but... So she on there says, I told her to go look at the preamble of the Constitution. We are a United States citizen. That's what it says in the Constitution, you know, in the preamble part. And were we the people? Were we the people? And we are a United States citizen. That's what, right? Isn't that what it says in the preamble of the Constitution?
No, it's all real English language, and you know it all applies, and you just don't want to get lost in the word game. I'm thinking of Dan 2 weeks ago. He got into that hue and man and was telling us that hue means color. I actually looked in several dictionaries and ended up looking up for Dan the words belligerent, bellicose, mm-hmm. sniping at people, you know, and hue is spelled H-U-E for color, so what he was saying was absolutely incorrect, and, you know, I was waiting for him to appear again to tell him that. So, you know, in person in the Constitution, that does apply to certain legal obligations. It can apply if you have a contract or you're part of a corporation, but Robert's big on this word game. He doesn't want to hear about it. So, and the English language
right.
is real, you know, and, you know, look in a dictionary and apply it. You know, it would be great to have some of the English teachers out of the 1950s and 60s who knew their stuff to have around, you know, to give real definitions for these words. So,
but we are a U.S. citizen. Look at the, you know, the preamble of the Constitution, the sixth. Number the six what six or yeah six reasons why we have the preamble, you know, what the Constitution's about,
right.
But
right.
under there it says that we the people, you know, we are the our United States citizen, which we are, or we're one of the we the people, you know, we're the people. So those two things, that's what I That's what I think.
Apparently everybody, when they're charged with a traffic ticket or some other misdemeanor crime that they're trying to say you're a criminal, gets caught up in the fear of the whole thing, of all these nomenclatures of the word game, and does it mean this, does it mean that, you know. Just hopefully you got a good education. I know you did, Marty. You're a smart woman, so.
Well, thank you.
You know, citizen is okay, people is okay, person is okay, and don't let people try to misapply it and say that because you're a person, we say you are, we have a right to remove your left leg, you know, or something like that, or empty your wallet. So.
Right. And Crystal, are you still on?
Wait,
yes, I
have a question. We are all members of the National Liberty Alliance, so we are already jurors. Can't we put that down on the statement?
Which statement?
Of who we are. How would you define who we are? We are United States. We're United States citizens. It's in the preamble of the Constitution. Or we're also we the people. But he's saying, can't we put, what'd you say, California Fred?
That we're all jurors, he said.
Yeah, that's
Members, before I forget,
there's something very important, very, very important. Since I've been back and forth in the courts, this is what I've gotten for both of them. I got the federal and the superior court transcript. How powerful is that? And what I did by me representing myself, I've been the first one, am I a public servant of this court? No. Is this my grand jury? Just said, no, he's a grand jury. I said, you just committed a treason. I want your resignation. All that is in transcript. And this is how powerful the National Liberty Alliance has been for me. All the words that I've been learning and the meaning, when I've been going to court for the past 4 or 5 years defending myself, I've been whipping the attorneys. I asked them for a sworn notarized affidavit, proof of claim. Can I see your contract? Can I, now with the subrogation. Now I received a package back from the bankruptcy attorney. She wanted to be my trustee. So I wrote her up on the subrogation. Now she's sending, and I did a grievance up on all of them also. Now she's sitting there, well, they just appointed me, but she's the one who wrote me up as a serial. A serial means you commit more than 3 crimes. A serial bankruptcy fraud. I said, I only filed twice. I filed a 7 and a 13, and I said, and the reason why I was unable to attend the 2 courts because my brother died in October, and my sister died 6 weeks later. I had 9 deaths in the family, and I said, and then I ended up in the hospital, so I was unable to appear, and I brought you those notes and the obituary, you know. So she goes,
well, shouldn't you say that, Crystal? Like, did you have like a court date or something? Shouldn't you call? Everything goes to the clerk of courts, clerk of courts, clerk of courts. Shouldn't you call the clerk of courts and, you know, relay that to them, that information that you can't appear? Or,
well, at the time, as I said, I was traumatized. My brother just died. Then my sister died. My aunt, I had like 9 deaths, and I ended up in the hospital. Do you think I was worrying about courts or anything like that? I really wasn't. And then the last one, I went there, and they knew, as I said, I don't know what I had made, because as I said, it was a terrible time in my life at that point.
Well, sure.
And she said to me, and she goes, okay, I'm sorry. She extended, the judge extended, and said, okay, we're going to do you in January. So I went back in January, you know. And
just focus on their fraud, Crystal, not on your absence and with the family day.
Right, because, and as I said, but when she wrote this up, because, see, the other one, when I said,
Oh, I said, oh, since you are my trustee attorney, this was the first one. I said, I want a jury pertaining to my case. And I said, oh, and by the way, you being my trustee, you are also acting as me, and I'm supposed to be speaking in my best interest. Am I correct? He goes, yes. Well, he got off of that case. So this one thought she was a little toughy and said, well, I'm going to take her on. Now, she's sitting there winding. So they sent me the package of everything I sent them. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to go back to the post office, and I'm going to return to sender. I made the copies of the few, and that's that. You know, I'm following through my subrogation, and, you know. But that subrogation is very, very powerful, too. I sent that to John so everybody could get a copy and follow through. Anytime the attorneys or anyone, also like with the GE, they're doing an investigation with them.
Green one.
So we just follow through on these papers, you know.
Oh, yeah. All these papers are powerful on the website under the grand jury tab. And
okay.
just use those things. You can as well, but
I
my question to you. Pardon?
I don't use a computer.
Oh, you, okay. All right. Yeah. You do it a different way. It's very important, like John, Captain John was saying on the COS call, paperwork. And I go check everything out at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. Everything's public record. You go in there and you can see what's in that file, you know. And you were saying that you did do that and something was changed. So somebody, you know, on the foreclosure or something, some lawyer went in there and, power of attorney. Yeah, that's the strategy. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, he put that on my deed record.
At the very least, if the court ends up committing fraud in the court or fraud on the court and denies justice from proceeding, your paperwork is really a trail of evidence of what the court, the judges, the prosecutors, the conspiracy that they're in to deny a person, a people, a citizen justice. And
how do you handle that next? And if she saw that in the paperwork, you know, what's that called, number one? Fraud on the what's it called?
Well, you
what
have
do you
to
do?
Look up. You have to look up fraud in the court, fraud on the court. And,
yeah, I go to the internet computer for everything to Google.
And there are different definitions for the two.
Yes,
I'm not going to try to explain it here. Fraud on the court certainly is.
I heard you say all that before in another call.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
It's just when a judge denies justice from proceeding, and abuse of process is another term for that. So, and in our national case with that federal Judge Kahn that we indicted, that's exactly what he did when he appeared and dismissed the case. That's committing fraud on the court.
And this particular judge, he...
So what did you do after that? What paperwork did you file to him? What did you do to get him?
You're asking me, Jim?
Crystal. What did you do, Crystal, when you saw that in the paperwork?
Go ahead.
I guess it was a lawyer put the power of attorney, you know, to try to...
That's under investigation right now. I contacted the attorney general, and what I've been doing also, everybody who you contact, make sure you get the name, their title, and believe you me, their attitudes change real quickly because everybody's trying to pass
the
call. Fuck them. Uh-huh. Okay? So they assigned me an investigator. She's an attorney investigator. And what happened when she looked on my paperwork, she said, she asked me for my name and address, and she goes, so what is the problem? I said, they are putting me in foreclosure, and the property is in my name, and I have my warranty deed. She goes, yeah, you do. She goes, you're the sole owner. Well, how can they take your house? I said, that's the exact same question I would like to know.
And I said, and also I gave him the names of the financial company, and I said, I've never had a loan or a contract, nothing with this GE. And I said, and I also contacted them, so I just got a response back from the GE, and they're doing an investigation. It's not the GE, it's the NAECA, whatever, who handles the union. And, you know, because...
What'd you have to do, file paperwork in, like, or a grievance? I heard you say on one of the calls, a grievance.
What I did, I went back and I found my old paperwork, and I said, when did I... Because when they put their name on my property, November 13th, 2014, like, I just bought the property from them. I said, can I please see the contract? This is like a new deed. You know? And they keep it, oh, well, so I said, no, I've been ripped off, and the burden of proof belongs on them. You can't ask a question with a question. You know, and just try to remember your paper trail and when you purchased your property, you know, and also everybody needs to go to your town hall, to the clerk's office, because the big thing, and I sent John that paperwork, it's the MERS, M-E-R-S, is when they change your name, they changed your mortgage, who signed your name. On my deed, it appears about 6 times. So I'm doing the paperback, PHH Mortgage, and there was a huge lawsuit in, I believe it was in Columbia, Georgia, PHH Mortgage versus Columbia, Georgia, and the man was awarded $21 million. With all that scam and stuff. And I said, you know what? When I realized they did it to me, I should have filed through, and I didn't. That was back
What should you have done? What should you have done?
I should have filed through
paperwork?
And sued I should have filed through and sued PHH Mortgage and got all my money back. You know,
in the federal court?
Yeah, but I didn't even know all that because I didn't know the